Good morning, everyone. And what a lovely morning it is. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 87. Hymn 87 being Psalm 130. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 91. He who lives in the shelter of the Most High, who lodges under the shadow of the Almighty, says of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I put my trust. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we gather in the morning light, we praise you for your unfailing love and for this new day, a day set apart from all others, and a day when your people come together to worship you, the one who is almighty and in whom we put our trust. Lord God, on this first Sunday in Lent, we remember the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, the pressures he faced, the evil he had to resist, and the arduous path he chose. Gracious God, confronted by Jesus' example, we confess that we find it difficult to live faithfully as your people. We can be self-centered in our outlook. We easily succumb to temptation. And instead of taking the hard way that Jesus took, we choose the easy way. Almighty God, the psalmist declared, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Look mercifully upon us, and cleanse and renew our hearts, that drawing strength from you, we may become your holy people, a people healed, restored, and forgiven, and a people faithful and obedient to you, our Maker and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we humbly ask these things. Amen." Again, a warm welcome, everyone. Welcome to those who are visitors, and welcome to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. We will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, and therefore those at home may wish to have some bread and some cordial or wine prepared. All who love the Lord are welcome at his table. There'll be a short contemplative service in the McMichael Chapel within the church this evening at 7 o'clock. You'll be very welcome should you wish to come along. Self-denial envelopes for Lent are available in both vestibules of the church today. The Finance and Property Committee will meet in the Session House on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. On Wednesday, Stirling Kirks Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall. That's at 12 noon. I'm sorry I'll not be able to attend as I've got a funeral on Wednesday. The first in a series of Lent studies will be held in the Church of the Holy Rood on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Again, all welcome. The Kirk Session will meet in the parish halls a week on Tuesday at 7:30. The Scottish Bible Society has organised a quiz night, which will be held in Park Church Hall on Saturday, the 22nd of March at 7:15. And there's a poster out in the main vestibule with information about that. But if you can go along or form a team, that would be great. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will be held following the morning service on the 23rd. An Easter holiday club for primary school aged children will be held in April, and registration forms are out in the main vestibule of the church. If you can spread the word about the holiday club, that would be very, very good. A reminder of the prayer tree in the McMichael Chapel. If there's anyone that you would like the prayer team to pray for, please write their name on a tag and attach it to the tree or place it in the box. And likewise, you can submit requests for prayer online through the church website. And finally, Tony would like to say a few words.
Morning, everybody. I promised to give you a brief report about my doings yesterday in Dundee, so here it is. A beautiful spring day, just like today, and a lovely drive up. And listening to other players was a treat for me, because you discover music that you didn't previously know. And I played a piece just before the service this morning that I'd picked up from an organist yesterday afternoon. One organist didn't turn up. There were supposed to be 17. There were 16. So a bit of deputising went on. I was not the deputy, but the slot was filled. Now, what you're really dying to know is the financial side. I am sitting at home guarding upwards of £1,200 in sponsorship. Today, from Muckat and Dollar, there will probably be in excess of another 100. And even this morning, three kind individuals have given me some money here. I'm thrilled. I can't thank you enough for this. You've been the most generous congregation. And the way of all churches have embraced this is truly amazing. I thought it would be A few hundred pounds spread across Dollar, Muckett and St Ninian's. Oh no, St Ninian's have given upwards of 700 and the rest has come in from Dollar and Muckett, largely because my wife Lynn is organist of those two churches and she's been pushing it. Thank God for that. I'd like to pass on, just in closing, the personal thanks of the trustees of the Caird Hall organ. When they heard how much I was going to bring to the table, they were shocked, because no other organist has brought that amount of money to this whole project. I'm thrilled. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. We are now in a special season in the calendar of the church. We are in Lent, that period that leads up to Easter. Now, during Lent, some people decide to give something up, normally something that they like. I wonder if anyone in the church today has decided to give something up for Lent. Anyone at all? Chocolate, yes. What have you decided to give up?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Oh, that's quite difficult to give up, isn't it? Sometimes people give up chocolate. Sometimes people give up drinking coffee. I heard of someone who has given up sleeping in their bed and they're sleeping on the floor instead throughout Lent. That's a wee bit drastic, isn't it? While some people give something up, other people decide to do something more. I'm aware of some people who each day in Lent put some money into a jar, and then at the end of Lent they give that money to a good cause, perhaps to a particular charity. That's a great thing to do. I'm also aware of someone who in the course of Lent will write a card and send it every day in Lent to different people who they know live on their own. And isn't that a lovely thing to do as well? In this period of Lent, we remember the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness. It wasn't an easy place, and it wasn't an easy time. He was tempted by the devil, but he didn't give in. He didn't yield. Instead, he drew strength from God and did what was right. In this season of Lent, whether we are giving something up or doing something more, let us remember the example of Jesus and let us draw near to him, he who gave so much up and who did so much that we might live. Let us commit ourselves to praise and serve and love him. Amen. Hymn 175. It is one we know, but maybe Tony will give a full introduction just to remind us. 175. It's a hymn I've come to like very much indeed. Praise, I will praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
This morning's first lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 167 of the Pew Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting at verse 1. When you have entered the land of the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Armenian. He went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and can be found on page 51 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. We sing the hymn 338. 338. Jesus tempted in the desert.
Thank you.
For centuries, Christian people have read the story of the temptations of Jesus on the first Sunday in Lent. This is the season in the Christian calendar when we call to mind our sins and shortcomings. It is, as I said earlier, a time when many give something up as a form of self-discipline. It is a time to repent and seek to make amends. But it is important to acknowledge that repentance means more than being sorry that we have drifted from God and the path he has set before us. In Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, the word repentance means to turn or return. As we think of the ancient people of Israel, we find an example of repentance in action. After years in exile, they were set free, and they returned to the land of milk and honey. But they did more than that. In returning home, they returned to God himself. I find that analogy very helpful. Lent is a time to be upfront about all that is wrong in our lives. But it is a time to turn again to God, that we might know more fully his blessing and joy and love and peace. But what, we may well ask, does this have to do with the story of Jesus' temptations? Someone once said, often in the Christian life, after the blessing comes the battle. After the mountaintop, we thought about that last Sunday, comes the valley. That was what Jesus experienced. His baptism was the mountaintop when God proclaimed from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." But then there is the valley. That time in the wilderness, a time of trial and testing. A time when alone in that bleak and desolate place, Jesus was tempted by the devil. Very, very briefly, I would like to look at the three temptations that Jesus faced, and I do so because I believe that we can learn from them today. Firstly, there was the temptation to turn stone into bread. Now remember, Jesus had spent a considerable amount of time in the wilderness without food. As a result, he would be weak and famished. This temptation would have been very, very real. Who, with the power that Jesus had, would not have yielded and turned stone into bread? But Jesus refused to do so. And here was an indication of how Jesus would exercise his ministry. He did what was honouring and pleasing to God. And even in this wretched place, at this awful time, he denied himself, and in so doing, he proclaimed a great truth. We today live in a me culture. It is a culture where the mindset of many people is, as long as I have what I want, that is all that matters. But one has to ask, does such a mindset and attitude really make one happy? Do people like that feel truly satisfied? Jesus knew only too well how important bread is. But he also knew it alone does not satisfy. Only God can do that. Only God can give us the true bread. The bread that gives us peace of heart and mind, forgiveness for our sins, comfort in times of sorrow, and strength in times of adversity. My friends, where do we find such bread? We find it in Jesus, the living bread. Jesus, who said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Isn't that wonderful? And that is an open, unconditional invitation. Whoever, regardless of who you are or what your story is, regardless of what your past has been and what you might have done, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. My dear friends, the path that Jesus asks us to take is not an easy one. It is challenging and demanding, but it is satisfying and it is rewarding. For where does that path lead? It leads to everlasting life. There is something this world in all its brokenness cannot give. Only Jesus, the living bread. And then there was the second temptation. If Jesus paid homage to the devil, if he would only fall down and worship him, he would have power over the kingdoms of the world. My dear friends, Jesus knew the devil had no such authority. But more than that, the power that Jesus came to exercise was not one that lorded it over other people. It was a power that expressed itself in humble and loving service. Now again, isn't this so very different from the way in which power is wielded by so many today? There are those whose genuine desire is to serve their country, their community, their church, and who do so faithfully and well. And we have to remember that. We mustn't become cynical. There are good people, and we give thanks for them. But alas, there are others. There are those who use the power they have to dominate, to coerce, to bully, to influence, and to make themselves feel good regardless of the consequence of their actions. of what they say or do on other people. That is an abuse of power. Contrast that with the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who, as he drew near to the cross, do you remember he got down on his knees and he took some water and he washed the feet of his disciples. That was a lowly task. That was a task normally fulfilled by a servant, the lowest rung of servant. And yet, that is what Jesus Christ, the King of glory, did. In so doing, Jesus has set us, his people today, an example to follow. It is through seeking the good of others that his kingdom will grow. It is by making sacrifices and giving of our best in humble service that the world will know whose we are and who it is that we serve. Jesus, the King of glory, the one who stooped down and washed the feet of his disciples. What did Jesus say? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There is no greater privilege than to serve Jesus Christ. Finally, the third temptation that Jesus faced in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself from the parapet of the temple. For Scripture says, he will put his angels in charge of you, and they will support you. How cunning the devil can be. If you are the Son of God, prove yourself. Jesus would have none of it. He would not put God, his Father, to the test. Why? Because he trusted him implicitly. And again, that trust was evident throughout his ministry, and not least in the days leading to his death. Jesus could have turned back. He could have opted out. But no, he remained obedient, for he knew that God would be with him, that God would give him the strength to endure all that was to come. And he knew that beyond the cross there was the crown. What an example. What a challenge. I don't need to tell you, life can be hard at times. So much can happen that is beyond us to understand or make sense of. I find that as a minister, when I see how some people can become so very sick and some die long before their time. I find that very, very difficult. And I find it difficult when I look at the Church of Scotland today and I see how it is and what it has become. But I trust God. And I hope and I pray that we all can trust God the way that Jesus did. For then we can continue, knowing that come what may, and in every circumstance, God will be there to strengthen and to help us. And then, at the end, all shall be well. Repentance, to turn, return. Jesus' response to his temptations are surely signposts on the way to a deeper, more intimate understanding of God. May they guide us on our journey through Lent and through life itself. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing of God's wonderful love in our communion hymn, hymn 354, 354, O love, how deep, how broad, how high.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is the Lord's table. He invites all who love him to sit with him and share in this joyful feast. Dear friends, hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, rejoicing in your faithfulness, we give you thanks for the privilege of gathering at your table and for your love, which is such you gave the world your only Son, that through him we may have life everlasting. Therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we proclaim your greatness and praise your holy name. Gracious God, at your table we pray for the world, a world that is the work of your hands, yet a world that is not what you created it to be. Guide the leaders of the nations and all who strive for peace and justice. Look in mercy on those who are powerless, and shelter all who are homeless, hungry, or oppressed. Eternal God, in this Lenten season, when we reflect on Christ's time in the wilderness and the temptations and suffering he knew, we pray that we may take time to reflect on our own lives, and that remembering all that our Lord endured for us and the example he has set, we would respond by amending our ways and giving our all in loving and humble service. Lord God, whose compassion is without end, we remember before you those who are in need, the sick, those who suffer pain or loneliness, and all who grieve, remembering as we do the families and friends of Willie Brown, Andy Miller, and Wendy Callion. Comfort them and all in our thoughts with your presence. Sustain them by your promises, and grant them your peace. Almighty God, as we pray for those dear to us, we give thanks for the communion of saints, remembering with love those we knew and whose memory we cherish. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with them, and bring us at the last to the joy of your eternal kingdom. And now, gracious God, may it please you to send down your Holy Spirit to bless us and these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be for us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless the communion of the blood of Christ. that we, receiving them in faith, may be made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits, to nourish us and help us grow in grace to the glory of your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." The things of God for the people of God. Eat this, the bread of heaven. Drink this, the cup of salvation. That the Lord is good. Blessed are those who trust in him. Thank you. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks and praise for the dying and undying love of our Saviour Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you have brought us into communion with him and with all who love him, and you have made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom. Father, by your grace, may we continue in this holy fellowship and grant that we may live our lives to your eternal praise and glory through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, hymn 167.
Thank you.
in the peace of God. Go in the love of Christ. Go in the power of the Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you, now and forevermore.